Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Well, I'm going to be in the book of Daniel. I'm going to be in Daniel chapter 2 tonight. We're going to take a little look at Daniel and some of the ways that God used him after Nebuchadnezzar brought them into captivity and during Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I'm going to be in Daniel chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 21 tonight. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. The Word of God says, "And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." May God add blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. You know, often in history, the behavior of man has brought about judgment from God. Now, we can go back through the Old Testament, and we can look at many times where God has judged Israel. He has handed them over into captivity of other nations. He has judged them with blights and famines and all kinds of things that have gone on inside of their nation because of their sin, because of their disobedience. Well, in Daniel's day, Judah fell from God's grace. God sent Nebuchadnezzar to besiege them, especially Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar overcame Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar took Judah into captivity. Begins in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. Well, among those taken were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We may know them better by their Chaldean names. Daniel was called Belshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. And Azariah was called Abednego. And they were under God's judgment. Now, I'm not saying Daniel and these others did anything that brought that judgment on, but the nation as a whole did. And Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was all brought into this as role players, as God's chosen instruments. So even during God's judgment, He establishes a way of repentance. He establishes those that will preach His Word, those that will be a witness, and those that will be a testimony to the nation and to those that are witnessing what's going on. And that same thing is taking place in America tonight. We've got all kinds of immorality running rampant throughout America tonight. We've got it running throughout the world tonight. There's all kinds of false religions that are going on. The Muslims have their religion that's running rampant around the world. We've got Russia that's trying to bring in their orthodox religious ways, and they do have some. We've got China that's full-blown atheist trying to push atheism, which is a religion, around the world. We've got all kinds of threats, all kinds of terrorism. Everybody seems to have a right to some kind of sin tonight. Well, I've told some folks just in the last week, there is no such thing as a right to sin. There is a nature to sin, but there's no such thing as a right to sin. God holds sin in judgment. And if America keeps heading down the road that she's headed on, we have nothing to look forward to except God's judgment. That may not be popular preaching tonight, but it's preaching that needs to be said. It's stuff that needs to be put out in front of the people, in front of America. And you know what? If that happens, the only voice of God that America is going to have is the church. I'm not talking about the Baptist or the Methodist. I'm not talking about the Pentecostals or the Church of God or the Catholics. I'm talking about the blood-bought, born-again children of God who are saved by grace through faith and who have a backbone to stand on the book. The blood, the book, and the blessed hope. That's what I'm talking about tonight. These folks, the church, will be the witness. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are a picture of the church in their day and in their time. They were God's people whom God brought into this captivity, but He brought them there and put them there in order to preach and teach and be a witness and a testimony to God's goodness. Well, let me kind of lay out for you chapter 2 before we get into the meat of the message tonight. Verses 1 through 16 will tell us about Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Verses 17 through 30 is where God reveals that dream to Daniel. Daniel asked God to reveal it to him. Show me what Nebuchadnezzar wants so I can answer it, because Nebuchadnezzar is going to kill everybody if they get it wrong. He's going to start executing people. Well, Daniel came back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm just going to do a little paraphrasing right here. He says, look here, boys, we're going to have to get down and pray about this and ask for God to show us something. If He'll show us what this is, I can go back to Nebuchadnezzar and I can set him straight on what this dream is, and nobody will have to lose their life. We need to be praying about this. We need to be getting in touch with God and letting God have His way in these matters. We need to be having God move in this. That's verses 17 through 30. That's where our text is tonight. Verses 31 through 45 is where God answers that request and that petition, and He interprets the dream through Daniel and gives Daniel what he needs to say to Nebuchadnezzar. And in verses 46 through 49, God promotes Daniel inside the king's service. So I want you to look back with me at verse 21 tonight. We're going to find scripture which I believe is played out in our lives today. And it's being played out in this country. It's being played out for the church to be the testimony and the witness of God to the immorality, the sin, and just the cold-heartedness of things that are going on today. Three things I want you to see with me quickly tonight. God changes the conditions and the circumstances that we live in, and He changeth the times and the seasons. Now, God didn't change the weather pattern. That's not the seasons that the Bible's talking about. When it says seasons and times and seasons, He's talking about conditions and circumstances. He changed the conditions and circumstances that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were living in. He handed Judah and Jerusalem over to captivity. He brought them from there into the Chaldeans, and there Nebuchadnezzar took them and put them in part of his court because they were some of the finest that Jerusalem had to offer. There's something that we have to understand as Christians tonight. God will take us out of our comfort zone, and God will put us in somewhere, someplace, something to be a testimony to Him. He might not ask us to get out of a boat. He may turn the boat over. If God wants us in a particular place to do a particular function and a particular work for Him, He will change the conditions and the circumstances that we're faced with. The church had better open their eyes tonight and get out of this realm and this entertainment mentality and this mindset that we're in that's so ungodly. It may be fashionable to the world, but it's ungodly under God's eyes, because the church isn't strong enough tonight to be the witness that God wants to call it to be. If God would come to this country tonight, and if He would change the conditions and the circumstances that this nation's operating in, and the church is operating under tonight. I'm afraid there'd be a lot of buildings closing their doors permanently because everybody would stay home. Well, if it's just not fun anymore. Well, it's just not popular anymore. It's just not this or it's just not that anymore. God never promised it to be fun or popular or prestigious or anything like that. Jesus himself says, count the cost. Who is going to build a house unless they count the cost of what it's going to do? Who is going to put together a ministry unless they count the cost of what it's supposed to do, what it's going to be involved? Again, the point that I want to make right now this evening on this particular item is the church should not be caught off guard when God changes the conditions or the circumstances that we're faced in. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to point us in the direction we need to be going to be a witness and a testimony to Him. Now, sometimes God will do that, and the lukewarm fair weather Christians that are sitting in the pews just to be sitting in the pews, he'll need to weed them out and get them out of the way, because he's got real work that needs to be done, and he'll change conditions, he'll change circumstances, he'll shake them up to get them out of the way, because he needs his church to be his church. We're starting to see that tonight in America. We're starting to see the days and the times roll around in this country where the church is going to have to quit being everybody's best friend, and the church is going to have to start being the church. The church is going to have to start calling sin, sin. The church is going to have to start following by the Word of God and living and working and doing by the Word of God. I'm not saying we're rude, and I'm not saying we need to be mean, and I'm not saying we need to be cold and callous. I think we ought to be loving and compassionate and kind and understanding, and seeing people saved by grace through faith, and seeing those that have slid away and backslid from living a life of God and gotten into sin, see them repent and come back forward. I think we ought to be doing all of that. But this stuff of taking and snuggling upside of sin just to make it warm and cozy and cuddly, to make a few protesters feel good, that's no good. I read an article last week where a Baptist church in Washington, D.C. ordained a woman pastor and her lesbian mate. Just as sure as you're sitting here tonight, I'm telling you the truth. They can do whatever they want. They're going to do whatever they want. But in that article I read, the church's intent was to draw the lesbians and the gays into that church. They wanted to be a church that would embrace that movement and embrace those people. You're not going to lead people out of a life of sin by coming alongside that sin and encouraging it. That's one example of a direction the church is headed tonight. Well, number two, aside of the conditions and circumstances, God removes and establishes the authority that he desires. Notice in verse 21, he removes kings and he sets up kings. I've said this before, and now I've got some scripture to show you to back it up. Barack Obama spent 8 years as the president because God put him there. I don't know what God's reasons were. I don't have any idea today, but he was up there because God put him there. Donald Trump is in the White House tonight as the president because God put him there. George Bush served his time as president because God put him there. Bill Clinton did because God put him there. Vladimir Putin is serving in Russia because God put him there. The dictator Kim is serving in North Korea because God put him there. God has these leaders set up at this day and at this time for His purpose. It is His authority that He sets these things up by. That may not sit real well with the DNC and the RNC tonight. They'll just have to write me a letter if they don't like it. That's all I can say. Because it doesn't matter how authoritative they think they are, they're not in control. The Bilderbergs over in Europe, I don't care how powerful they think they are, they're not in control. The Word of God says that He removeth kings and He setteth up kings. God establishes the leaders in a nation to do one of two things. And you go back through your Bible and you take some time and you read about all of the nations that are in there and Israel and all of the other nations that are there and how God dealt with them. When He changed their leaders in their nations, He did it for one of two reasons: to either bless that nation or to judge that nation. There were only one of those two. He either blessed them through the leadership that was in there, or He cursed them or judged them for it and through it. What makes us think tonight America's going to be any different? What makes us think tonight that we're going to be anything special? God established America for His particular purpose, and He began establishing it in 1620. He's carrying it through today for His particular purpose. When we get to the point where we're no longer following Him and we've hardened our heart and we've stiffened our neck, God will change the leadership around in a matter that will judge us. He will make that decision. He will establish it through His authority. Last tonight, I want you to notice with me that God increases wisdom and knowledge to those who use it. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. The church, the real church, the true church tonight, has peace. Doesn't matter if the stock market's at 21,000 or at 2,100. It doesn't matter if the interest rate's at 2% or 21%. It doesn't matter if the gas prices are at $1.50 a gallon or $5.50 a gallon. We may not like the higher end of it. We may not like the worst side of it. But we have a peace because we have an understanding and we have a knowledge and we have a wisdom of it's happening for a purpose. God has established it to take care of something, and we know that and we realize that. Things that change in our world and in our nation change because God has a purpose for them. I don't know what it is. God doesn't check in with me. I'm not that high up on the food chain. All I am is a messenger. But I do know that He's got it in control. Nothing never catches God off guard. God never has to say, hey, this dawned on me. God knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And that's good enough for me. And those of us that have that close walk with God, we have that wisdom and that knowledge. He's going to increase it as these things happen. He's going to support, back up, and increase that peace and that understanding in our hearts and in our lives. When things get tough or when things get where we don't understand them and we don't realize them, we're going to have that wisdom and that knowledge to come back into God's Word, to search it out, to study it out, to read it out, and to be able to share it with those that are under our influence. And that's something that we have to understand tonight. These things are not to make us feel down in the mouth about our country. They're not to make us feel down and out about the world that we live in tonight. They are to encourage us and lift us up and let us know that in spite of all of the ugly that's going on, in spite of all of the lack of understanding that's going on, God is still in charge, and we as the children of God, we as the church, we have the ability, we have the influence of God the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of our heart to encourage and show Jesus Christ to the world that's out here. So if we're letting these problems pull us down like they're pulling the world down, where's our influence? Where's our testimony? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they held their own in spite of the prestige that they were given, in spite of the power and the popularity they were given, in spite of everything that they were given. They held their footing and they held their own in everything that took place. And as such, they held their testimony and they held their witness for the Lord and everything that He done in their lives. That is the place of the church in the world that we live in tonight. To be that witness, to be that testimony. Well, God used judgment to revive Judah. And it worked. It worked. They repented. But it's not beyond God to repeat in America what He did to Judah, what He did to Israel, what He did to others. And if He decides to do that, it will be the church and the voice of the church that will be leading revival in America. Your voice, your influence, your words of that peace that passes all understanding, your love of the Lord Jesus Christ will make the difference when the world has nowhere to turn. What God reveals to them through you will make a difference in their life.